Psalms 19 verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." You are about listening to a message from the audio archive of Heaven's Glory. Remain blessed.
The pain I will see, I will praise, lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true, I will sing. Lord, you seem so far away, a million miles or more, we face today. Oh, and though I haven't lost my faith, I must, it's right now that it's hard for me to pray. Oh, and I don't know what to say, and I don't know where to start. You gave the grace with all that's in my heart. I will sing, I will praise, lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true. I will sing, oh, I will praise, lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true. I will sing.
Father, we give you praise, we give you glory. We worship you, Lord Father, for a time like this. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know that you are in our midst. And for that reason, Lord Father, we are not ashamed. Neither are we afraid, Heavenly Father. Because we have you, Lord, on our side, we are more than conquerors. Heavenly Father, receive the praise in the name of Jesus. We ask that, Lord Father, as we are gathered in your presence this day, Father, may you minister to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Speak to us, Heavenly Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 4. I will sing, I will praise.
Even in my darkest hour, the sorrow and the pain, I will praise.
Romans chapter 4, verse 18.
Lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true, I will sing.
Hallelujah. I'll start from verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law or through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Hallelujah. I want to first of all thank God for this privilege to stand before his presence to speak his word. I know that I am just like a vessel that God is going to use this morning to minister to us. And my prayer, my faith, and my confidence is that God is going to do just that, pass through me to minister unto us in the name of Jesus. So I have titled this message, Hope Against Hope. Hallelujah. I've been made to understand that God is doing something here. And as far as the moment is concerned, he has given us a focus, which, of course, it's tagged a better hope. A better hope. Hallelujah. You know, and while I was preparing for this moment, and trusting God to speak to me, you know, he took my attention to this very verse, Romans chapter 4, verse 18. And I have not seen it in this life before. But I just was wondering, why would scripture say that Abraham hoped against hope? So it's like having one thing contradicting itself, one thing fighting against itself, hope fighting against hope. Hallelujah. You know, so, but as I studied and as I waited upon the Lord, and understanding flooded my mind. And that is the basis of what we are going to be sharing today. Hallelujah. It is not going to be very long. It's just a message that God wants to pass. And I know that he is intended to do a great thing in Heaven's Glory International Gospel Center by bringing peace. And I believe so much that lives will be transformed, lives will be changed. And that which God wants to do in our lives, in our midst, shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. Okay, man has a way of thinking. And most of the times it is attributed to the things he sees around. The belief of man is usually based on something. Man cannot just wake up one day and say, I believe something like this can happen, that I hope things like this can happen. And it's part of our conversations every day when maybe we're greeting one another or greeting each other, and the next thing is, I hope you're fine. I hope you're okay. I hope your family. You know, sometimes we'll say, I hope things will turn out well for me. I hope this. I hope that. I hope. So hope is in our everyday conversation. That term, hope, most of the times it is embedded on the things that we see, on our own experiences, be it physical or spiritual. So the question is, where is it coming from? The side it is coming from. That is why we have two hopes in this scripture that we are considering. Because there was a hope that Abraham had to hope in God against. Hallelujah. So, for it to be clearer to us, I would like to bring this word expectation. Yes, instead of using hope, so that we understand this very well and flow with how God intends to speak to us this morning. Okay, just imagine that you read very well for an exam, a student, and the topics you were able to cover came out in the exams.
And while you were answering the questions, you were just smiling. You read these things. You are so confident in yourself about the things you know concerning the questions you've been asked. So when you come out from the exams, what will you get? Your expectation is that I'm going to pass this. So if somebody peradventure asks you, how was the exams? It was good. It was fine. But somebody can go on board to say that, he fired the question very well. He really dealt with the exams. So his expectation is based on the preparation he had to go through. It's based on the fact that he has done very well in the exams. Hallelujah. So he expects that he sees the best result as far as his performance is concerned. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sorry about that.
Okay. So, the student expects that he will pass the exams. And anybody who has passed through the university system would know that sometimes, even after you have done very well, you wrote your exams very well, you expected good grades at the end of the moment when your results are being released. You know, but then sometimes you'd come and see a lesser grade, lesser than what you expected. I've seen situations whereby people have failed a course. I use that they have failed because they actually did well in the exams. And then they saw a different thing. So some can follow it up and request for a mark. The script will be found and then marked. And then they get better grades than what was released in the result. Okay, so what am I saying? With all the expectation of that student, the high hopes that he had, yet something came lesser than his expectation. Lesser than that. Hallelujah. So just imagine that you were in that exams. You performed very well. You prayed to God. Maybe before the exams or after the exams. And God assured you that you're going to pass the exams. So which one will you believe more? Is it your performance in the exams or what God said? It is what God said. Because once he has spoken, he will do it. Yes, I like this song that you have a track record of doing your word. And you're not about to stop doing it now. Yes, it's a nature of God that once he has spoken, it comes to pass. He said in Isaiah 58 that his word is like the rain. His word is like the rain. Let's check that scripture. Isaiah 58, verse 11. No, Isaiah 55, rather. Verse 10. He said, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Verse 11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." So God does not send his word for no reason. There is always a reason for the rain to fall. It is to provide food for the eater and to provide seed for the sower so that the cycle of life can continue. While the eater eats the bread, the sower gets the seed to sow again, so that the seed can multiply and then bring back food for the eater to eat. This is a cycle that God has ordained. And that's how his word is. You can't sit down in heaven and then begin to joke with people and say, I want to do this. And then it doesn't come to pass. It's a nature of God. Once he has spoken. So once God has spoken over a life, then it surely will come to pass. So what is our expectation based on? Is it based on our own calculations, how we see things working, you know, in order physically? Or is it based on what God has said? So this is an announcement to us that there is a better hope. Things we can hope in God for. Not in the calculations of man. In the scripture we have read, Romans chapter 4, verse 18. He said, he hoped against hope. Let's read that again. Verse 18. He said, who against hope believed in hope? Against hope. So if we are to switch the first hope with expectation, according to how I've introduced this message now, it would be like this. Who against the expectations of man believed in hope? Yes. So if the second hope now is expectation based on God, would say, who against the expectations of man believed in the expectations of God? Hallelujah. That he may become the father of many nations. Mind you, in verse 11, verse 17, it said, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Because at that moment, Abraham was dead. As far as reproduction is concerned. When the word came, Abraham was too old to give birth. Sarah was, let's not even talk about the age. The menopause, she's passed already. Not just the age, she was barren. Sarah was barren. So according to the expectation of man, this guy is old. Sarah is barren. So the expectation is that these people cannot give birth. Hallelujah. So that is the hope. The hope of man. He expects that this man will not give birth. But despite the trouble, do you know that at some point, he even told God that, see, oh, this one that I am well advanced in age and my wife is barren. You have not given me an heir. I think it's Elimelech, the Edomite, the Syrian that is in my house, that will, Eliezer. It's Eliezer, the Edomite in my house, that will inherit my estate. Because it all seemed that he can't give birth anymore. But God said, no, a son shall come from your own loins. Hallelujah. Not just through you, it's you and Sarah that will bring forth this child of promise. So he believed God because of that word. And the Bible said, because he believed, it was counted unto him as what? Righteousness. And he has become a father of us all. That's what the scripture said now. In that Romans. Hallelujah. Verse 16. He said, therefore it is of faith that it may be by grace. To the end, the promise may be showed to all the seed, because we are the seed of Abraham. If indeed we believe in God. Hallelujah. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Hallelujah. There are those who came from Abraham according to his lineage. He gave birth to them. Hallelujah. And then there are those who are not even part of his lineage, but we have become his descendants. Why? Because of faith. So he said, not just to those of the law, but also to those of what? Faith. And it's not even whether you are of the law or of the faith. It's no longer according to the law. It's according to faith. Because what? Grace is supplied. God has given us the grace.
for us to actually enter and tap into the promises of God upon the life of Abraham. I remember the promise unto him was that what? He is going to be what? A father of many nations. And through him, the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. And the blessing of God flows unto us through this. And because of this, we have become partakers of the promise. But it has to be in a manner, in the same manner that God had dealt with our father of faith, Abraham. It has to be according to that pattern. If it is not faith, then there is no hope. If there is no faith, there is no hope. That hope is no hope. So that hope that was based on the expectation of man because of the surrounding circumstances was no hope at all. That is why there had to be another hope that he believed in that was against that other hope. Hallelujah. So it says it is of faith. And the Bible has spoken expressly that faith cannot be generated any other way except by the word of God. That faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not just the word of any man. It has to be the word of God. So only the word of God can generate faith, be it spoken to a man directly from God, or spoken to a man through another vessel that God has used. Hallelujah. So once God has spoken, that which follows is an activation of faith. It's like a chemical reaction. Once an input is being made, then there has to be an effect. Hallelujah. So once God has spoken, faith is activated. And then we believe that what God has said will come to pass. That is the hope. The better hope. So this kind of hope has to be against the hope that comes by the calculation and expectation of the physical things that man sees with his physical eyes. We are spirit beings. We are not led by what we see. We are not moved by sight, but by faith. Hallelujah. Going on in that same book of Romans, chapter 8, you know, this way the Bible says of hope. It says, hope that is seen is not hope at all. And I like it when Pastor Stephen, I don't know, he said in the, I think one of the discussions we've had some time ago, was it a discussion now? Oh, no. It was the ministration. And he was saying that there is sight in hope, in faith rather. There is sight in faith. Though we don't see it physically, but there is sight. And that is spiritual sight. Hallelujah. So, but that one, it means that you have seen in God. You have heard from God. That is the sight aspect of it. But coming to the things that is physical, you cannot see it. You cannot see it happening. Because at the moment that God told him, that's Abraham, that he was going to be father of many nations, he was barren. His wife was barren. In fact, the Bible said his body was dead. You know, but God is the one that quickeneth the dead. And he called it the things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. So, faith, hope rather, that is seen, is not hope at all. Hallelujah. So, Romans chapter 8, verse 24, it says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? You are seeing it physically. Then why do you hope for it? We can talk about this in more than one way. Hallelujah. So if I begin to see things happening physically, more like a mobilization of things coming into place, And then there is no spiritual inclination, no spiritual backing to it. Then why should I hope for it? Things that I see. The things that man see, why should he hope? We hope for the things that are not seen. We don't have an evidence for the move of God in our lives. We cannot bring a recording of our conversation with God when he said he was going to do something great in our lives. I can't come up and say this is an evidence. This is the document that I have signed with God that he's going to do this thing in my life. You see, I'm waiting on God for something. I'm hoping that he does something great in my life according to his word concerning my life. I can't come and give you documents of agreement that God has signed that I'm going to do this. Okay, well, the scripture is there where his word is there. He speaks to us. But we can't read scripture and say that we claim it. We don't claim it. It has to come alive in us first. Hallelujah. And that's the moment we hold God by his word in the scripture. We can carry the scripture and say, he has said this of us in the book of Romans. But if it has not materialized in our lives, it has not hit us, then it is as though God did not even speak to us. So there has to be an object of the message of God. What is the word of God hitting? Is it hitting upon our lives at this moment? Then we can say, yes, God has spoken. And we can hold on to it in scripture. Hallelujah. But in our conversation with God, we cannot bring a document and say that there has been a written agreement between me and God. Oh, God has said that he's going to do this. No recording, no document to show that. So I can't come and tell you that, okay, because of this, God has said this. The only thing that will make you believe in it is maybe because you believe that I have to an extent the relationship with God. Hallelujah. So this kind of hope is not seen. The one that I see based on my calculation, based on the things that are happening. Okay, just imagine. Just in the illustration I had given earlier about how you rate for an exam and all this. You know, in fact, it will be impossible to think that one will fail. And that is the foolishness of the man that built the Titanic, that biggest ship of all time. He was so sure of his construction that he was bold enough to say that even God cannot sink it. He was so sure. But that assurance was coming from himself. It was coming from himself. He didn't even recognize God. The only recognition he gave to God is that God is powerful. Because that's what he meant. Even God. So God is that powerful, but the power of God cannot. Why? Because I am so sure of my creation. I am so sure of my construction. So he said, God cannot sink it. And of a truth, God did not sink it. It was too small a thing for God to do. That is why it was just an iceberg that sank the ship. The biggest ship of all time. Hallelujah. So where is our confidence coming from? The Bible says in Hebrews that we should not let go of our confidence with us what? A better reward. It has a sure reward. But where is our confidence coming from? Is it rooted in the word of God to us? Is it rooted on our experience with God? Or is it rooted on what we see with our eyes? Is it rooted on our own calculation? Is it rooted on the things we see physically and expect? Just like the man that built the Titanic. Many lives were lost as a result of his calculation. He did the physics, the engineering, they calculated the angles, what have you, they knew the upthrust, all the principle of flotation that will keep the ship in the sea without sinking. And so they loaded it with people. People came and lives were lost. Where was his confidence? Don't let go of your confidence, but where is your confidence? And I'm grateful to God that he's bringing this right now. Hallelujah. I know that he wants to do something. That is why he has brought forth his word. A better hope. We hope in better things of God. The things that God has revealed. Things that we don't see. For hope that is seen. The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 24. That it is not hope at all. We were saved by hope. That's the faith of the hope in God. But hope, man's expectation and whatever that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Don't hope for it. We are not moved by what we see. Hallelujah. So it will become a hard thing to do. To believe God. It's very hard. Once we have not heard from him, it's very hard to believe. And the only way we can believe in God is when we have heard. And we have established that the word of God is that which activates faith. So until he is revealed to us through his word, we cannot believe in him at all. Hallelujah. And so the Bible said that, well, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He didn't say that you may likely. It's impossible. That faith must be there. So faith comes only by hearing. So God has to speak to us. And God is so faithful that he's ever ready at all times to speak to his children. The question is, do we seek him to hear him speak to us? On every aspect of our life. Now, once God has spoken, I used to say I have this, is it rugged faith? Very stubborn faith. I was telling one of my friends, I am very stubborn. I'm very stubborn. See, if we are to talk in human terms now, it will be as though if God will make the mistake of speaking to me, then that is the activation of my stubbornness. But God does not make mistakes. Hallelujah. So the thing is that if God has spoken, that is just it. Praise the Lord. So these are things that do not have any physical evidence. No. No. That is why it is hard to believe. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. When I was reading this scripture, oh God, glory to God. Isaiah 53 verse 1. It said, who had believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It is God speaking now through the prophet. He said, our report, God's report, who has believed it? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's a very big question. The biggest question at the moment. You can't believe except the hand of God is revealed. The hand of the Lord has to be revealed before one can believe. Because the things of God are foolishness unto a carnal man, unto a man that lives and acts as a woman, as a human. He said, they are foolishness. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. There has to be that spiritual discernment and understanding that comes as a result of God's revelation. So he reveals unto us his mind. He reveals unto us his hand. He reveals unto us what he can do. That is the hand of the Lord at that moment. Only when that one is revealed, we can never believe God's report. There are many things outlined here in this scripture. Let's read on. Hallelujah. Verse 6. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He's talking about Jesus. The great thing that God had intended to do, even in that long a time that had passed, in the time of the prophets, was prophesied. This is what God would do. But who has believed that report? So because we have not believed the report of God, that's why we have gone astray. And the only way we can go astray is when we go our own way. That is what the scripture is saying. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And while I was studying this, the Lord made it clear that, you know, when he spoke in Chronicles, is it chapter 15, verse, Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles, let me check that scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Hallelujah. I will sing, I will praise, even in my darkest hour, oh God, through the sorrow and the pain, I will sing, I will praise. Lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true. I will sing.
Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles 7, verses 14. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways.
You know, most people attribute this to our wayward ways as humans, sin and all whatnot. You know, so sometimes the greatest sin is not even the sin that we think of. Hallelujah. The sin of unbelief is a big sin. So people will be thinking, okay, I didn't fornicate, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. I did not steal, I did not kill. They call this one sin. And when one is seeing sin in that category, he will look at this one, this word of God that says from their wicked ways. But let's take away the wicked from this scripture. Let's just for this moment, take away wicked and we'll see what the word of God is saying. Said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their ways. Hallelujah. The ways we used to view things, the way we used to do things. And the Bible speaking in Isaiah, it says that we all as sheep, we have gone astray. Everyone has gone his own way. So it becomes very difficult for us what? To believe the report of God. So where are we? Hallelujah. So it's a call back to God so we can know what he is saying at this moment. Once we have heard from him, then that settles the matter. No matter how difficult things may be looking at the moment, when God has spoken, that is the better things we offer. So we need to have a hope against hope. Praise the Lord. So we have been facing quite a lot as a nation. And there was a time, sometimes last year, that God dropped this message in my heart. The same Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14. When it all appeared that we're doing things our own way. During the NSAS protests, other protests. That is our own way. We have complained about government. We have done quite a lot of things. Saying all sort of insults and abuses to the government, looking at where they failed. Yes, they failed. But we are going our own ways. The only way is to kneel down and pray. And when we have secured the voice of God, that is all we need. And thank God for the remnant that he has kept. Even though it would have been like Sodom, he has kept a remnant to himself. People who have seen God for who he is over Nigeria. And they are still trusting and believing. So no matter what God says, if you don't believe it, it will not work for you. And that is the whole thing. Hallelujah. And the thing is that we have few believers. We have few believers. So how can men believe? Except they know it. How can they know? Except they come to God. And that's the need for great evangelism in Nigeria. For all eyes to be enlightened and come to the knowledge of the Father. Because they have to do that first before a relationship is established. So we can know God for who he is and for what he has spoken concerning our life. Not just our life, but as a nation. So we can believe. If I don't believe, it will not work for me. That is the thing. Hallelujah. Just imagine that, okay, let's say I'm praying for you for something. That's when the effect will come. But let's say I don't pray for you. There can't be any effect of my own prayer. My prayer can be of effect only when I do it for you and I'm channeling it to you. So it's the same thing with faith and belief. It's the same thing with hope in God. It can only work when we know it and believe. We can't believe it unless we know. So we all as sheep have gone astray. Only when we have come to God and had him speak concerning us that we can believe. I am an ardent believer in Nigeria and what God wants to do. Because I know that his word is true. And I believe him for Nigeria. And many other things concerning my life as an individual. Hallelujah. So that is the word of God unto us this morning. We need to have a hope in God against all hope. And is embedded in our relationship with God. May God bless the ministration of his word unto our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Can we pray? Father, we give you praise. Lord, I worship you, Lord Father, for this moment. Thank you, Lord Father, for your word that you've spoken. It has blessed my life as an individual, oh God. And oh Lord, we are so grateful that it is coming at a time like this. You see, there's a better hope. And this morning, Lord Father, you're calling us to hope in you against any other human expectation. Heavenly Father, we ask that, Lord, may your word come real in our lives in the name of Jesus. As we seek your face, Heavenly Father, let there be a revelation of your very self unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, as your message goes round, Father, to men and women that you call unto yourself, Heavenly Father, we ask that, Lord, Father, a change shall be effected in the name of Jesus. Even in this season, oh God, that you are giving us hope. Heavenly Father, let men come to the light of your hope in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship the Lord because you are God. There is none like you, Heavenly Father. For your move, O God, Father, in heaven's glory international. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask of you in the name of Jesus that, Lord, may you continue in the name of Jesus. We have seen your move already. Heavenly Father, go ahead. We love you, Lord Father, and that which you are doing in our midst. Heavenly Father, go ahead in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen.
Without any contradiction, I believe you've been blessed. Please ensure to keep those things in your heart and be diligent enough to observe them. God bless you.